What war did we fight in 32? On my dad's side and my mom's side, they fought in the war of 32, 1832. The Black Hawk War in Illinois. And my great-great-great-grandfather was wounded to the place that he died from the wounds at a very young age. And I want to tell you that my great-great-great-grandmother, for the last 10 years of her life, from 1892 to 1902, the government helped her live. They sent her a check for $8 per month. The War of 32, here's the problem. If I talked to my two sisters and my brother, they would know nothing about the War of 32. That has been lost in our family. Let's pray and we'll get started. Father, thank you for this day. Help us this morning as we are in Memorial Day. And I recognize we all need vacations. That's all good. But at the same time, we actually have a holiday we call Memorial Day, which we're supposed to be doing some memories and memorializing, I think. May we never forget our great God and what He has done. And may we learn ways and simple ways to perpetuate the memories of Your mighty power and grace and goodness in our life, not only for us to remember, but for future generations to remember. May this be so this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Memorial Day is an American holiday. It is observed the last Monday of the month of May. Specifically, it is for the honoring of men and women who have died serving in the United States military. Originally, it was known as Decoration Day. I never heard that. And it started right after the Civil War. No one knows where it started, but all around the country, people had lost family members. Remember, 600,000 plus Americans died. We were fighting each other. The country was very small, and people wanted to memorialize and remember those in their family that had died. So it started after the Civil War. It became an official holiday. Anybody, don't look at your Google. It didn't become a holiday till 1971, which is kind of surprising to me. I thought, by the way, this will be part of my sermon. I thought it had been around here a long time. 1971. For me as a child, holidays like these were not days to travel. Holidays like these were days of memorial. Actually, when I came to this church, I will confess to you, I didn't know the difference between Memorial Day and Veterans Day. We kind of blended those two together. Those were the two big days in our family where we every single time did the same things. I texted my sister yesterday. She replied this morning, and I asked her a question. I said, "Shirley, will you be with Mom on Memorial Day?" And this was her almost word-for-word reply. "Yes, we'll be taking flowers to some graves." My memorial days were as simple as this. We always went to certain people's graves. July 4th in my family was not a big day. Until I was past 18 years old, I never saw a 4th of July celebration. It wasn't for any reasons that you can think of like that. It was because my dad could not hear. If you've been bombed and you've been shelled, you don't want to hear shelling. And when my dad would hear that, he's right back in Korea, the Chosin Reservoir. So no, he didn't want that. But those two holidays at the beginning and the end of summer, we always did the same thing. They were actual days of memorial. And they did two things. We would always go to certain people's graves and honor them and tell stories. So I have stories about people I never met. May I tell you this? Memorial Day is not for you to eat tomorrow. You eat every day. It's not for you to travel someplace. Memorial Day in our country was set up to memorialize, to remember. We would always go to my mother's my dad's mother's grave. I never met her. She died in 1945. As my dad was leaving for World War II, she died then. We would always go there at her grave, of course. There were a lot of people from my family in that general area. We'd look at their graves. We always made sure that her grave was prepared and there was flowers put on it. We went to another grave. His name was Jerry Neal. Jerry Neal means nothing to you. I never met Jerry Neal. He was my grandmother's, I think, grandma's ninth kid or so. She had 12. I think it was 8 or 9. I'd have to count backwards. About 9 or 10. About 9, I think. He died when he was a year to 2 years old of some horrible disease that he had from birth in extreme pain, and it was one of the centerpieces. Memorial Day was not a time to get out of town or to pig out. God forbid that you would drink on Memorial Day and think about yourself. No, Memorial Day was just, it was simply this. You remembered and you told stories. So we would tell stories. We would go to my dad's mom, and he would talk about that, and we would talk on the way. We would go to Jerry Neal, and Jerry Neal was buried between my grandpa's, his parents, my great-grandfather. I never met him and his wife. I met her when I was 2 or 3, and he's buried right in between the two. We would go there. We would remember that. We would go to a couple of other graves because it was a time of memory, and always we would talk about Uncle Henry. Uncle Henry was the only person we lost in World War II. And he died in the island of Leyte near Ormoc City, December 10th, 1944, where he eventually died. He didn't die that exact day. And he got wounded with Japanese machine gun fire in the retaking of the Philippines. And yes, we remembered and talked about and told stories. So Memorial Day was not a time to eat, think about yourself, and crazy stuff. It was a memorial, which isn't that's what it called. It is called that. So I want to talk about that this morning. We always put flowers and we talked and told stories. In this text, we have the crossing of Jordan. We have the crossing of Jordan during the flood season on dry ground. We have the crossing of an entire nation according to God's promises. So in this text, God himself tells his people, I want you to establish 12 stones as a memorial. And what is the purpose of this? So I'm going to say 3 very simple things. Number one, these are stones. This is very specific, for memory. Or may I say it this way, they're stones in the place of memory. Because you and I have a problem with memory, which is what? Can you all say it with me? We have a problem with memory, and what is it? We forget, we don't remember. Things slip out of our minds. Now, Amber, I appreciated you getting excited that school is over. Glory to God. You don't have any more math for at least, a few months. The older you get, the more you forget of these things. I have a memorial. Mike, I speak to you guys specifically, but I know Fawn knew him. I have a memorial at home on my dresser. It is, first of all, a large photo of Great Lakes Naval Hospital. And in the backdrop is a huge piece of white poster board with signatures of men that I worked with when I left Great Lakes in 1981. I should show you the photo. It's interesting seeing those cars from that era. You know what's sad? I don't remember a single person on the placard. I worked with them. A couple of the names I couldn't, you say, our memories fail. Look at Joshua 4, verse 7 again, would you please? They are stones for memory, or stones in the place of memory. We must do something that helps us remember. Joshua 4, 7 says, Then you shall answer them that the waters of Jordan were cut off before the ark of the covenant of the Lord. When it passed over Jordan, the waters of Jordan were cut off, and these stones, you see, these stones shall be for a memorial. There's something that helps your memories. Otherwise, your memory tends to slide away. You tend to forget. You tend to not remember. There are stones for memory, or in the place of memory. We all are human, and humans have limitations and infirmities. One of those infirmities, we have the tendency to forget. Please look at me, friend. We even forget good things. Is this true? Have you ever met someone down in the ditch and God has done 1,000 things in their life, and one time they have a crisis and they're about to abandon the faith, and you're like, what about all of that? You cannot remember it. You cannot, it's gone. It just slips through your mind. All through the scripture, you find this problem of forgetting. Deuteronomy 4:9, I'll just read these. Only take heed to thyself and keep thy soul diligently, lest thou forget the things which thine eyes have seen. God assumes we can forget. Deuteronomy 4:23, take heed unto yourselves, lest ye forget the covenant of the Lord your God. Deuteronomy 6:12, then beware lest thou forget the Lord which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt, from the house of bondage. How would you forget that? How could you forget that God took you out of slavery and freed you? How would you forget? There's something about humans that we forget. Things slip through our minds. Things change. It's who we are. Deuteronomy 8 verse 11 says, beware that thou forget not the Lord thy God. Deuteronomy 9:7, remember and forget not. Psalm 103, verse 1, many of you know this text. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits. Somewhere we forget things. What's the point of the stones? They're stones for memory. They help you and I to remember. They're that which keeps things in our memory. I have something up here. A guy I like very much gave me something recently. I have never been here, but when he gave it to me, I loved it immediately. It's not expensive. I don't think it cost a few dollars, but a guy in this room gave me something that means a lot to me, and all it is sand. It's a certain kind of sand from a volcano, volcanic ash sand. Where's that from, John? From Iwo Jima. It has something else in the front that I really like too. Thank you, John. Say, what's that? It's a Hospital Corps emblem. By the way, that guy gave me something to remember one of the greatest places ever fought. Hey, if I don't have that, I'm going to wait till everybody wakes up. You know, it's an embarrassment after a point. Do you have these? You say, you weren't on Iwo Jima. No, but there were men that were there. You wouldn't be here this morning if those men hadn't won there. You see, this means something. I have some other sand. This is interesting sand. John, this is his exact word. He gave this to me, I don't know, a few months ago. What was the language you used, John? You fetch this yourself. How did you go to Iwo Jima? Were you in the Navy and you went there to train or what? So John was a smart guy. He fetched some sand from Iwo Jima. Somebody else fetched me some other sand. It actually looks more like sand. Looks just like sand. They fetch this little bottle of sand, and it says Omaha Beach, Normandy, France. I can't even look at that sand without weeping. There are 9,000 Americans buried at the top. Don't you tell me you don't have something to be thankful for. And I recognize in this room, there's a third of the people in this room that were not here in those days. Your family weren't there fighting. but you're here and you have freedom to excel because some people fought at Normandy Beach, December 6, 1944, and later. Do you have those? Yes or no? Now, the only mean part of this sermon, it's not meant to be mean, but it's very mean. I don't know how to say it any other way. Our memories have two problems. The first problem is this: the present. What's going on right now, today, tends to dominate the past. When I was in Bible college, I heard this statement about pastoring. This is a statement. By the way, if the shoe fits it, fits you, put the shoe on. If your phone's ringing, pick up the phone. This is what I heard over and over. And it's not about me this morning. This statement: people never ask, what have you done for me? They ask, what have you done for me? Why? Because the present dominates the past. You cannot even remember the good things that people did for you. Robert, one of the beautiful things about your mother's funeral was lots of people will remember. You know the thing that stuck out to many people? How many letters talked about struggle when you were young? And your mom and dad sticking together, I guarantee you, going without. Those are memories you want to hold on to. You can do that through photos. It doesn't have to be a stone. It doesn't have to be sand. But those kind of memories are important. Our memories, look at me, friend. Our memories tend to be dominated by the thorn in your flesh right now. You can't remember anything good that's ever happened. It's just right now. Well, I don't want to live my life based on right now. I want to live my life remembering, Mike, as we said earlier, all the good. How about you? But you have to set up some stones in the place of your memories. Otherwise, the present dominates the past. You know what else happens? The present, this is the second problem. The present colors are colors over the past. There's a problem. I've read many books of psychology that study memory. I'm a weird person. I hate this, but I know it's true. The way you are is the way you were. It is very difficult to disassociate today from what happened 30 years ago. Let me give you a simple example. Please don't raise your hand. Don't say anything. If I asked you, if you went to a church before this one, how often did they take the Lord's Supper? Chances are you would say, just like us. Because what we do today is the way we've always done things. It's hard to even remember the past, folks, because the present has a way of not only dominating, especially if something bad's happened. Oh, I hated that place for 40 years. Why were you there? Because the present, you know, the thorn in your toe is dominating the past. But it tends to color the past. It's a simple thought. By the way, I could care less about this. How often did you have the Lord's Supper in the churches you've been in? I tried to remember. And you know what my first memory is? We always had it once a month. But that's what we do here. Then I tried to remember more, and it's like, then I thought, no, I think our home church had it quarterly. The church I got saved in, I'm sure, had the Lord's Supper quarterly. Two of the churches I was in, they had the Lord's Supper whenever the pastor got around to it and wanted to, which might be once a year, might be once every other year, might be twice a year. It was random. I'm going to ask you a question. Can you remember the past? Most of us, the way we are. So here's our thing. Friend, hey, are you free today? Yes. Where'd that freedom come from? It didn't come because you showed up. It came from things that happened, but the problem is we can't remember because we haven't set up memorials of some variety, stones in the road, so to speak, that help us remember. Stones for our memory. Our memory tends to be right now, and I'm not happy, therefore I was. That didn't even make sense. Have you ever seen somebody divorce somebody and they can't remember why they ever got married 25 years before? Now, you could have had 24 years and 9 months of bad marriage. I got it. I've met those. But friend, sometime there must have been something happy. Everything in life is based on this principle. You have to set up some stones, and you have to remember those things. I think they help us. Let me ask you another question. Did the church you grew up in sing the doxology? Oh, yes, we sing the doxology. By the way, did this church used to sing the doxology? It's hard to remember those things. Why? Because the way we are is the way we were. No, it's not. Friend, things move forward. To remember the past as it was, my whole point is you must set up some memorials, some stones in the road. They aid the memory. John, you know, you have no idea how much I appreciate that. That's one of the best gifts anybody's ever given me. I was not an Iwo Jima. I'm not quite that old. Frenchie was old enough, but not me. But I will tell you what, that's a blessing. Having a little bit of sand. I doubt very much this is the sand that was there the day the men went in on D-Day. But it helps me remember. December 7th, 1941. June 6th, 1944. 9/11. What happened on 9/11? People, please look at me, friend. Do you know we have a lot of kids in this room that have no idea what happened on 9/11? They weren't even what? When have you seen a memorial on television about 9/11? Why don't we show video of 9/11? Because the political left in this country wants us to forget. So you must set up yourself. Look at me. You must set up yourself, your own memorials, to remember what happened in 9/11. Because our country refuses to deal with 9/11. 9/11 didn't happen. Now, if you go to New York City, they have a wonderful memorial there. But the media will never want you to think about 9/11, we got attacked. Well, we move on. Look back at Joshua chapter 3, would you please? Stones in the place of memories. You understand the concept? Because your memories fade. I have a good friend right now that memories are fading for him. Breaks my heart. I'm not yet open to tell you who it is. It breaks my heart to talk to a man that I could talk to for an hour on any given occasion, and now 3 minutes and he's ready to hang up because his memory just comes and goes. All of our memories do that with memories. Joshua 3, verse 7, please. Or 17, excuse me. I would say stones in the place of memory are stones for our memory. So you don't have to remember it. You have a way of remembering it. Number two, stones, and this is important too, for memorable events. You don't want to remember everything. In verse 17, it says, "And the priests that bear the ark of the covenant of the Lord stood firm on dry ground in the midst of Jordan. And the Israelites passed over on dry ground until all the people were passed clean over." Joshua 4 in verse 3. "It commanded ye them, saying, take you out of the midst of Jordan, out of the place where the priest's feet stood firm, 12 stones, and you shall carry them over with you and leave them in the lodging place where you shall lodge this night." The point being is they were to not only have these stones to aid in memory, but they're to be stones or memorials of significant events, memorable events, life changing things. These events that there's a before and there's an after. There's something about these that are central to a person's life. You see, not only don't we remember and we can't remember well, some things shouldn't be remembered. The pain in life is probably best not to always remember unless you remember that God brought you through things on those memories. God delivered you in that way. Those are the kinds of things. Look at verse 23 of Joshua, would you? Joshua 4, 23. Because there's an interesting way these memories tend to build. Verse 23 says, "For the Lord your God dried up the waters of Jordan from before you until you were passed over, as the Lord God did to the Red Sea, which he dried up from before us until we were gone over." I mean, it's almost like you're building memories on top of memories of memorable events, significant events. Those events that actually change things. Yes, they can be in a country. They can be in a church. They can be in your personal life. They can be in your family life. They're all those events that change the direction of where things went. Memorable events. Memories. And memories of God's goodness, of answers to prayer. Can I ask you a question? Do you have a list of where God has answered your prayers? Do you ever remember God answering your prayers? I carry it in my Bible. I pull it out about every couple of years. I have them right here. That's one. That's another. This is a photo taken July 29, 1990. Can you see the photo? Don't look closely at me because I used to have hair and it was a different color. That photo is the first Sunday of this young baby at church. That mother was pregnant with that young boy with twins. We had a family conference, and she delivered those twins very early. That young boy's brother was gone immediately. We thought he would die. We prayed for that young boy. Do you realize that young boy is 29 years old today? He's not 100% normal. He has problems because he was born very early. Friend, I want to remember, I have some stones of good memories. Look at me. How about you? Or is it just you stubbed your toe yesterday and the world stopped? I just remember my toe hurts. I came to church and Amber didn't smile at me. There are people in this room that actually kind of keep track of stuff like that. Well, Pastor didn't shake my hand. Yes, and I didn't do it intentionally. Nancy, in your case, it would be intentionally. Just remember that. My goodness. So, stones in the place of our memory, which is bad. Stones of memorable or significant events. Can I ask you a question? Does things slip out of your brain? I didn't ask my wife because my wife has a better memory than me in some ways. Not for some things. I can get dates. I can get events. I'm weird that way, but when it comes to personal life, I do remember, guys, when I got married. I do remember my anniversary. Hello? I know how many years I was married. I can do the math. I'm not as good at math as Mrs. Hall or Pastor Kowak, but I can do the math. In June the 9th, it will be... Rhoda, I don't know how this works. I'm 26 years old and I will be married 40 years. I'm not sure how that works. But I know it's 40 years. But Jenny, I remember we used to know. I used to know. You still do. I used to know the date on our first date. Do you remember? Hold it. I'm going to cry. She doesn't remember. It was February of 1978. I do remember who we went out on the first date with. Bill and Cheryl Lancaster. That's a name from the past. He was a chief here. We went on a double date. I remember when I proposed to her. Jim, I can't even go back to the restaurant. It's so long gone. The restaurant has been gone for 30 years. For only an old timer in this area would know. We went out to eat to a steakhouse. I think it was a steakhouse. It was called Cervantes. And you want me to date myself? It was at the mall, but not the mall you're thinking of. The old mall where Walmart is now. There was around the ring, there was a restaurant called Cervantes. We went there and I had filet mignon. Mm-hmm. Now, as a country boy, I didn't know what that was, but it was good. And I remember I had the ring in the box hidden in my sock. Now, why can I remember that? By the way, what am I talking about? Memories, good memories. Friends, you have stones. Why do you have this? It helps you remember. You tend to forget. Hey, some people can only remember their problems. That means they're not setting up memorials. And it ought to be of memorable events, things that mean something to you. I can usually remember when my children were born. March 31st, I'm pretty sure. 1984, John was born. He's 35. Amy was born. Well, we remember because there was a small earthquake in Chicago that day. No joke. She was born June 10th, a day after our anniversary, 1987. I remember that. If you ask me, when was Nathan born? That's easy, folks. He was born Christmas Day, December 25th. If you ask me when his younger brother was born, he was born in December, somewhere. If you ask me where James was born, I would tell you he was born in October. If you ask me where Amy's Jesse was born, he was born, I know because it's my sister's birthday, April 15th. By the way, I got 2 of the 4. That's a miracle. What? I got the months. Now I want everyone to look at me. Hey, hey. When you leave here this morning, are you just going to listen to me and smile and go back to sleep? Hey, there are people in this room, God has done amazing things for you. You've got to set up some memorials. Memorials for your memory. Memorials of memorable events, significant events. May I say it this way? Good things. Otherwise, you wake up in the morning and you stub your toe, and the only thing you can remember is stubbing your toe. Yes? By the way, life has problems. Families have problems. Marriages have problems. Now, if you're married to somebody that's a problem from the first day till now, I don't know how to help you. But in most cases, and by the way, those occur. I've been around that. Stupidity. But in most cases, do you please your spouse every single day? Answer the question. Is your, you know, every day your husband comes home and you say, wow, I can't wait to see him. Yeah, that's one salad, you know, but by the way, do you remember all the bad? Hopefully you know how to do this. You know how to remember the good. Pearly, do you have a testimony? I think Pearl has a testimony back there. In this room, there's only one person that can legitimately say, I've been happy every day since the first day I was married, and that's Pachungay. Because she married the perfect husband. Just say amen, sister. Thank you very much. I'm going to ask you a question. When did we get air conditioning here? Do you remember before? Oh. I remember preaching in this church in July and August. We had fans going. By the way, the only person that was awake was me. There were people. It was so hot in here. And I remember one, it was my second summer here. I don't remember, what would that have been, 97? I remember just saying, folks, if you want air conditioning, you're going to pay for it. We're going to do it now. We put air conditioning in here. Was it a couple years later, we put air conditioning in the other rest of the building? You say, is that important? Now people's, they sleep in comfort now. They're not hot. Let me ask you another question. When did we pay off the property? When did we pay off the parsonage? When did we pay off Harper 1? When did we pay off Harper 2? See, here's the problem. All you remember is your present daily pain and your gossip and your criticism. Your memories are bad. Don't get mad at me. Look at me. Don't get mad at me. Set up some stones. Have some ways of remembering. Because if you only remember the evil, you're not going to do real well in life. Everybody has irritations. Everybody gets frustrated. Everybody has, even Dada, as perfect as he is, at least in my perspective, I'm assuming somewhere, did he always bring you flowers? He doesn't bring you flowers? Oh, Dada. Michelle, does John always bring you flowers? Oh. Bad illustration. What do you want, money? Diamonds. Oh, that's funny. I'm going to move on to the third point. Please look at me, friend. This morning, there's two ideas so far. Stones for memory. So the reason you have these things is to remember, because your memories slip. Yes or no? Stones of memorable, significant events. You ought to have in your life these events that you kind of play out. This summer, on the ninth, we'll be on vacation. When we go to Mexico, we do something very romantic. If we're in Mexico, we like to go to the city of Merida. There's a big square in one part of the city. And late at night, there's guys, these old guys, they're called, what are they called? Tres Amigos? Oh, Tres Corazones. And they play, and my Spanish is really good, especially when it comes to music. So all I tell them is, you know, la música romántica. And I don't know if it's pronounced correctly, but they go, okay. And they play music for us on our anniversary. By the way, she needs a lot of help. She sets up lots of memorials because I only do good things once every 3 or 4 years, so she really has to look. I'm going to move on to the last point. Look, if you would, back to chapter 4, verse 7, quickly. Chapter 4, verse 7. They are stones in place of our memory, because our memory leaks and it tends to focus on the present, and you can't remember anything good, and the way you are is the way you were, so the past gets all twisted. You don't want it to be that way. You want to start fresh and actually bring the good stuff forward. So it's stones, not only for your memory, but stones of significant, good, memorable events that you're walking forward and you're bringing those with you. Thirdly, stones for your descendants, both physical and spiritual. Then shall you answer them, these children. The waters of Jordan were cut off before the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord. When it passed over Jordan, the waters of Jordan were cut off, and these stones shall be a memorial unto the children of Israel forever. Verse 23, same chapter. For the Lord your God dried up the waters of Jordan from before you until you were passed over, as the Lord your God did to the Red Sea, which he dried up from before you until you were gone away, that all the people of the earth might know the hand of the Lord, that it is mighty, that you might fear the Lord your God forever. Psalm 78:5 says, for he established a testimony in Jacob, and he appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers, that they should make them known to their children. My friend, there's something revolutionary about passing on memories. Robert, yesterday when I read the stories and people were sharing, the subject of your mom and dad working and struggling through poverty, your mom and dad juggling many, many different things to bring. And by the way, their whole thinking was, we'll make our children successful. I understand those kind of parents. I mean, there are other parents that think about themselves, could care less about their children, wouldn't even rejoice with their children if they are successful. Actually, I've met parents that actually don't like their children to be successful. But Robert, I get your mom and dad. I know exactly the kind of people. They did everything for the children to get their children to a better place. God bless them. And I love it. And it came out. That's part of your story, Robert. Part of the story of Lake County Baptist. Are you ready, friend? This is not a perfect place. And in the history of a church that's been since 1974, there's ups and downs and all arounds. But I always go back. This church was founded to be a fundamental Baptist church where the Word of God was preached, the gospel was proclaimed. And look at me. And fundamental Bible-believing Christianity was perpetuated. Conservative music, biblical lifestyles. That's who we are. That's how we started. May I say, that's why we started. Emmanuel Church was already here then, the rock and roll church where you learn nothing about the Word of God. It's the church, this church left to form this kind of a church. I want to remember, hasn't been perfect, nothing is. I want to remember my own personal things, and I want to pass them on to my children. Talking to my mother recently about the Great Depression, and you say, what's the Great Depression? Because in this room, I'm looking, none of us went through it. Zero. Zero. So it was the generation before the oldest people in this room. My mother said to me recently, just sweetly, she said, when she came from a family of 12, you understand there's a lot of kids. She said, many a day, I went to school with no breakfast, I had no lunch, and not much supper. And my mom would send us over to a relative, but my mother is a very shy person. Her mother would send me over to a relative, and she would send me over there to ask if they had anything for her to eat. And mom couldn't ask. Don't you talk nonsense to me. You're telling me that people that struggle like that, you don't have something to rejoice about? We come from some people. All of us do. Sam, I don't know your parents. I don't know that they're perfect, but I do know this. Your mom and dad sacrificed so you could get an education. Yes? Satish, no different with you. I know the kind of parents that take their kids someplace. Here's what I want you to do. Plant some stones. This is who we are. This is what God has done. Don't you walk out of here this morning thinking about food tomorrow. And God forbid that you would think about booze or stupidity. You think about those men that planted that flag on Iwo Jima. You think about Teddy Roosevelt's son. One of our presidents, have you ever heard of Theodore Roosevelt? He lost one son in World War I. He was a pilot. He crashed, I don't know if he crash-landed or was shot down, but he lost one son in World War I. He had another son. You know this, Jim. He was way too old to be in the Army. He was a one-star general. He shouldn't have been there, but he would not stop, and he died right after D-Day. He's buried right up on top. I want to remember those kind of people. I want to plant some stones that matter in our lives. How about you? Let's pray. Father, thank you for your amazing grace.